And so the first question is, what pisses you off? The second question is, what breaks your heart? And the third question is, what's the big problem you're trying to solve? The ability to understand other people and to relate to them is a lifetime skill.
I was committed to myself and doing the work. And I went from being my own employee to 100 employees. And it's like the days are long, but the years flew by, it seemed like.
And so I just try to do the same thing with the people I work with, to help them articulate and speak up about what they're passionate about. I think that too many folks try to present a convincing argument rather than speaking from the heart.
All right, welcome to the studio, Mike.
Thank you, brother. Great to see you here. Great name, man. Two mics get together, good things are going to happen.
Yes. Double the fun, double the excitement. Gosh, well, I haven't seen you since Mindshare back in, a few months back now?
September.
Yeah, it was great. September. We just randomly connected. I happened to be at the Mindshare Summit with Dr. Adam Gavin and Dave Asprey, I'm an affiliate of the Wasabi Method. And you actually found your way over to the booth and got a treatment. You want to talk a little bit about your treatment?
Yeah, dude. So just to give everyone context, I was at the conference. Mindshare is, it's like a business development conference for health practitioners. And I have known JJ for a couple of years, the founder of Mindshare. And she asked me to come and speak. This is my second year speaking there. And I'm in marketing and branding. And so I work with a lot of practitioners, service-based professionals, people who need to essentially brand themselves. And I had a booth there, heard this noise, this crackling electricity sound. I'm like, what is that? Let me go over there. And I met you and I saw like the gun, the Wasabi gun. And several of my friends were like, dude, you need to go over there. One of my buddies, Dan, who lives in Austin, actually bought one. He's friends with Dave and they're all that whole Austin crew, you know? And, I got the treatment. It broke up knots in my traps, in my hips, in my lats. Like, it was a relief I've not felt ever in my life, because it's just stuck. And I get a lot of massage therapy. I do yoga. I do a lot of functional training, and dude, it just broke it up. So I was really glad to hear that Raheel, the guy who was working on me, is in New York City, which is just across the bridge from me. I'm in Northern New Jersey, and I got to make an appointment to see him soon, because that was just like unbelievable. I had not felt that good in so long. I can't even tell you.
I'm so happy that was your experience, because I had a similar experience. And Raheel is just such a great friend and a good guy. And Raheel, actually, yes, he's in New York over there by you, and or New York, New Jersey area. And he flew in here to Clarkston, Michigan, to my studio. I stashed him at my guest house. He came to the studio, gave me a treatment, gave my assistant a treatment. Same. I train often in weights and jiu-jitsu, martial arts, various things. And same thing, my hips, my lats. I mean, just everywhere. He gave me the full body. So I actually got a lot of extra attention versus like being at the booth. And I ended up, my friend, Dr. Adam Gavin, is the co-founder along with Dave for the Wasabi Method. So he asked if I wanted to be an affiliate. And I was like, of course I do, because I could give a great, honest testimony. And, I've watched people, and I was over at JJ's Mindshare where I met you, and I watched him treat so many people that had such a similar experience. And they're so excited right now, because you know who they have on board is Damon John from Shark Tank. He just bought one.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, okay. He's in. Amazing. And so Adam sent me a picture just the other day of him and Damon, because Damon's all over the Wasabi Method. And so they're pretty geeked about that. Awesome. So you were speaking at the event. I didn't really get to go and see any of the speakers because I was working with the guys. And we want to talk a little bit about your presentation?
Yeah, sure. I've been in marketing now for like well over a decade, I started out as the CMO of a company and then launched that on my own. And I never actually really grew an agency. Like a lot of marketers do that. They create like a marketing agency or a company that does marketing for other people. I really more went the coaching route, the speaking and online teaching route, and teaching individuals how to market themselves. I felt, Mike, that that's where I wanted to give my best energy and my time. There are a lot of companies out there. There are a lot of businesses out there, small businesses, retail. They do good stuff in the world. But I found that the individual practitioner, the individual service provider, the attorneys, the financial advisors, the health practitioners, the authors and speakers and consultants and coaches, they didn't have anyone helping them. And at the end of the day, they're typically on their own to do their own marketing, right? And they either can't afford an agency, or when they do, they get ripped off because those agencies don't understand that line of work. And so for me, the big part of the appeal was to have a direct impact on my clients. And I'm big on the underdog. I love helping the underdogs, you know?
Yeah.
And so my presentation was really about learning how to leverage the power of your personal brand to put yourself out there, to differentiate yourself. One of the key frameworks I use, I call the personal brand three. And it's just a list of questions, just a Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. And I say the intersection of these three things is where your message, your point of view lies. And so the first question is, what pisses you off? The second question is, what breaks your heart? And the third question is, what's the big problem you're trying to solve? And if you can reverse engineer that, like, you have a pretty clear brand message. You have a pretty clear marketing message. A lot of people hide behind fluff. They hide behind really diluted, watered down, sterile messaging, right? But let's take Wasabi for an example. Man, when I talked with you and with Adam and Raheel, it was so clear to me what ticked you guys off. Like Raheel, especially because he was working on me. He's like, man, you don't ever go to your massage therapist again. They don't know what they're doing. Like, look at your back, look at your shoulder, blah, blah, blah. I hate that crap, you know, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, cool. He's super passionate about this, yeah. Right? And I saw when Adam was working on people, like he took so much time with the people who stopped by the booth. I could see some folks were crying. More people than not were crying after they got the treatment because they felt this release. I felt the same way. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like it really hit where the stress was. And so you have a product like that, but when people go out to market it, they then lose sight of what really was stirring on the inside. And they kind of just water down the message. Like, oh, this is a great new therapy that it's going to help you feel great and unlock the stress. Like, no, it's like they took a hard line. So did you. You're like, no, this is going to be great. And you told me a little bit about your story. And we connected over the fact that you did jiu-jitsu. I was like, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on Muay Thai. I want to learn to strike first before I get on the ground, you know, and all that. But like, I knew what you were talking about because I've had those either injuries or those kind of blocks in my body. And so I just try to do the same thing with the people I work with to help them articulate and speak up about what they're passionate about. I think that too many folks try to present a convincing argument rather than speaking from the heart and from a place of passion. So that's really what my talk was about there. And it's what I do for a living. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it was very easy to connect with you too. We actually realized while we were talking that we have... you were just in my town where my studio is located. You had recently been in town in the Metro Detroit area for a mastermind with your good friend, Ryan Coral, who has a studio here in a neighboring town over right over by me, who we're going to connect and we're going to podcast together as you connected us so graciously. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Good people know more good people who know more good people. That's how the world works, you know.
Absolutely. Hopefully, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, bro.
Yes. And so, gosh, Mike, you are a best-selling author too. You have so much to talk about here. Let's talk about your book.
Yeah, it's called You Are the Brand. Came out in late 21. So it's a couple years old now. It's done really well. We had a couple bestseller lists, which was really cool. Wall Street Journal, USA Today hit those lists, which is something I'm proud of. It didn't like change my life. You know, I keep the highs kind of not too high and the lows not too low, if that makes sense, right? That's why I love the martial arts, right? Like, just kind of keeps you, you know, like, you're not too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, man, it was a labor of love. I'm proud of it. And I'm always like, okay, what's next? What am I moving forward in? But yeah, the book was about that whole journey I went through when I quit my job as the CMO of a company. I went out on my own. I didn't really know anyone who did it when I did it. There aren't a lot of books around there around that topic. Now there are. In the last 10 years, like, a lot of that space has exploded with people who are starting podcasts, you know, building businesses off social media, becoming freelancers, being able to travel all around the world, which I think is awesome. I do. I really think it's awesome. Like, let the people who have passion and talent be free of the constraints of their job or their schedule or their 9-to-5 salary. The world's not a better place necessarily because of that. You know, you want people who are on fire. You want people who love life and have a lot to give and a lot to learn and a lot to do to inspire others. So that was really what the book was about. It's about building a business around your personal brand. It's not a book on how to be a brand or, like, create an image. It's really like, how do you market? How do you monetize? How do you sell? How do you create products and offerings around yourself and around what you know? And yeah, I've been in that space for 10 years now, and it's cool. I meet all sorts of interesting people, bro. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, that's huge. And so, gosh, and I can really appreciate your story, your journey. Can you talk? I know that you've had to have faced some adversity during that time frame. Any good little nuggets you want to share? Super helpful. So I can only relate, because, you know, kind of the premise of my podcast is me kind of going out on my own. I worked in the mental health field for 27 years, and in 2016 I struck out on my own, and I didn't by any means think it was going to be easy. I didn't think anything was going to come my way without adversity, but wow. Whew, it doesn't waste any time. Yeah. So, like, adversity waits for nobody. There's no pause button on that. I thought when I was kind of putting the podcast together in 2020, it was just kind of based on everything I had been through. And I thought, man, you know, I wish I had heard some stories, you know, along the way of encouragement, because I felt so alone and isolated during that time. I wasn't relating to anybody that was in my circle. So I isolated and I dialed back, and I just retreated and kind of had to do the deep work on my own. But, you know, I'm sure you did too.
There are so many instances where you bump up against your own limits, right? And also the limits of what the people around you think you can do.
Yeah.
Or what they're comfortable with you doing. I was married at the time. I'm not anymore. We ended cordially, but those weren't easy years. Like she was always, my ex was like supportive in the sense that she was hands off. But once it got pretty close to me being able to make the leap full time, because I had like a 6-figure job before I left on my own. And she's like, what the, you're the head of marketing for a company. Why would you leave? Like, what are you going to do? Right. And I was like, no, I'm dying there. Like, I can't take this freaking commute anymore. Like, the final straw, Mike, was we're recording this right on Thanksgiving week. So, like, I still remember the date. Like, it was the day after Thanksgiving, the first time I hosted. I was married at the time. My mom came with her husband. My sister came with her then fiance, now husband. And we're hosting Thanksgiving. And, bro, I stayed up till 1 a.m. drinking with my mom. I'd never done that before. We were throwing back shots. All the wussies went to bed, you know. And she's telling me crazy ass stories like, oh, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, your aunt and I, we took my dad's liquor and we snuck out of the house and ran down the street and chugged it with our friends. I was like, I always thought I got the drinking from dad, not you. You know, she's telling me all these crazy stories. She's like, yeah, the first time you got drunk, you were like 3 years old. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, you were teething. And so back then, you know, parents were like, whatever, they're teething. So they rubbed whiskey on my gums to numb the pain, and then I got drunk.
That's so hilarious. I've heard that old trick. Yeah. That
old school people, right? The old school Koreans are like, whatever, he doesn't need to just rub some whiskey on his gums.
Right.
You know, go to bed. And I just had the greatest time. We're about to go to bed. I look at my phone. I see an email. It came in like 11:30 at night. hey, we need you to come into work tomorrow. Dude, I was so pissed. Oh, when I at, when I say like, what pisses you off, what breaks your heart, you know, that's where a lot of it stemmed from. I'm like, we're not a retail company. We're not open. We're not freaking Best Buy where people are trying to run in at 4 a.m. Like, why do I have to go to work?
Right.
And I went, you know, I was the important person at the company. So I went and I left my family there at my house. And I'm like, man, what if I get in an accident? What if the last time I ever get to have conversations like this with my mom? I just started thinking about that stuff. And I was like, I'm never going to let this happen to me again. And I started to think about how I'm going to get out. Like, how am I going to get out? What is the plan? I'm married. She's going to flip out if I quit my job, right? I've got other responsibilities. We didn't have kids, but like that was a real, you know, thing to consider.
Yeah.
And so I just started learning, man. I turned off sports talk radio in the car, you know, and I started listening to podcasts. I call sports talk radio gossip for men. You know, just hear a bunch of dudes like bitch about a team, you know, like, what do we do? Why am I listening to this crap? You know?
Yeah.
I started learning and I learning about podcasting, about blogging was popular at the time. Social media wasn't what it is now, but it was kind of up and coming. And so I was like, look, I'm a marketer. I think I can figure out some of this other stuff. Let me learn this new modality. And so every day I'm driving up and back down. I'm just listening to content. You know, you and I talked about coaches that we've worked with and hired, and I invested some money and joined a few programs. I actually did the work. Like, I showed up and I made relationships that way because I got known as somebody who actually took action. So the coaches noticed me and the other people in the community noticed what I was doing. Eventually, I worked my way out. A lot of people ask me, how did you do it? And I concentrated on just making like 10% of my monthly salary 3 months in a row. I think too many people shoot for the moon. They're like, I've got to replace my entire salary, you know, in a month before I quit. Like, dude, you don't have 48 hours in a day. You still have 24. You can't work twice as much, right? So I was like, let me just baby step this and just try to make an extra $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month or $500 a month. Let me work up from there. And if you really do the math, like an extra $500 a month is $6,000 a year. If you have a job right now, you're listening to us, how much do you have to work and claw and scratch and grind to get your company to give you a $6,000 a year raise? You might as well ask them for like a house, because companies are like, F off, dude. We're not giving you that kind of raise. It's like, that is life-changing money. I think people see a lot on the internet that you got to make millions right away to do it. And that wasn't the case for me. So that's how I baby stepped it, man. That was a big turning point for me.
We have a lot in common. I'm going to tell you, the entrepreneurial leap is maybe this very similar for a lot of people, but I was bare bones when I started up because I split from my ex of 15 years and my employer of 20 years. And I was starting bare bones. I had a lot of adversity at once, kind of happened like out of the blue, kind of stayed in both things 5 years too long. That happens, yeah. You know, and it's like, you kind of don't pay attention to the signs, but like, then all of a sudden you start making changes. Like, I started making changes. All of a sudden I wasn't listening to music anymore, which I always listened to music, but I was listening to podcasts and I was tuning into YouTube, not TV. So mm-hmm. I had started making small changes like that. I found myself separated and sleeping on my friend's couch, who happened to be an attorney. And, you know, my attorney friend wasn't really around. So there was another attorney friend of his. She was like running for judge and he was always out in the Grosse Pointe area out there. So I kind of had a landing pad over at his place so I could get on my feet. And then I did that and I transitioned from there over to my first office space, you know, and I was doing all the self-care and the deep work and I was on my own by myself and kind of formulating, drawing out my blueprint as I went. And I really didn't have, you know, all the money that I had kind of scraped together. It was for insurance policies and office space. And I bought one of those, you know, Coleman air mattresses from like the camping section at the sporting goods store. You like turn the can and blow it up. Like, that was legit. Like, I did that. If you've ever seen a meme like that, I saw a meme like that one day and I was like, holy shit, that was my startup. And so it was kind of funny. And then I didn't have a place yet. I rented that place at that that office space on Main Street. That was my first space. And then my company grew. You know, I was committed to it. I was committed to myself and doing the work. And I went from being my own employee to 100 employees. And, you know, crazy, it's like the days are long, but the years flew by. It seemed like it was just the craziest whirlwind where there were days that I didn't think I was going to make it through the day, you know, but then it was 100%. Like, geez, those startups can make or break you. It seems like, and well, I gotta commend you on a job well done, getting through all of that up on your feet and made it to the best sellers list there with your book.
Yeah, man. I mean, I you know what though? I look at it like I just did what I felt like I was supposed to do or what was in front of me. But like, I don't think I could ever grow a company to 100 people. Like, I hear what you're saying and I'm like, dude, I don't know if I could ever do that. It's a reason that the solo practitioner type of business appealed to me. Had you built teams and stuff like that before? Had you hired people before? Did you have that experience like back in corporate? Like
at my previous place of employment, I started out, I worked there for almost 20 years. And so I started from entry level and did every position all the way up into administration. Wow. And okay. I didn't realize I was doing like the job of five people. So I was doing the job of five people. And so when I started up the company, when I started up mine, it really like didn't faze me to be doing all the things that I was doing. Cause I was like, wow, I already did all the hiring. I did all the admin. I did all the, you know, supervision, all the training I was wearing many hats. Without complaining. I never looked at like that as a bad thing. Cause that was just what I was capable of doing. I just knew what I could do. I kind of had, I had a lot of autonomy and I was really good with autonomy. I was not a person that needed to be micromanaged. So I was always someone that could be trusted to get the job done. And much like you, like if I were to be called in, it was, you know, the field I'm in, it's mental health and 24 hour care. Like I remember, it's funny you bring up Thanksgiving because I was working with a gentleman with intermittent explosive disorder. Our organization was providing services to him. And I was called on Thanksgiving to go over there and mitigate a situation. And I mean, like this guy had everything thrown out of the house, including the kitchen sink. And I'm not kidding. So like I pulled up, all the windows were bashed out. The stove was out in the front yard. The refrigerator was out in the front yard. Like the kitchen sink was out in the front yard. Like everything was just upside down over there at that day. And our job was to, you know, kind of prevent the situation from escalating from there. So, you know, it was just like, there was a lot that I would have to deal with, as far as crisis management goes. And so, working with situations like that and building the teams around gentlemen, like the gentleman I just explained, was like what I did. And so, I'm pretty good in crisis and when the chips are down, like I was the go-to guy because that was pretty much how I kind of earned my stripes, within that network. It was like, that was kind of my calling and my gift. I was pretty good at that. And then, and kind of developing teams and, seeking out people, that would thrive in a leadership role, management, and identifying mentors for people that were struggling. It was pretty good. And so, like I said, when I started up my organization, I didn't think it was going to be easy, but I thought having all that I had kind of in my arsenal was going to be some great weaponry there. And it was like, everything I thought was going to be easy was hard. And everything I thought was gonna be really hard was really easy. It was kind of just a big old hodgepodge of, I don't even know where to go from here, but I'm just going to take one day at a time and see how it all unfolds. And so,
dude, that is so many freaking things in life. Like what you just said, like the things you think are hard are going to be easy. And the things that are easy are like super hard. I mean, how many times have you seen that in like just how you train?
Yeah.
You're right. Like,
yeah.
Or workout or whatever. I remember like my first Muay Thai lesson, I met my trainer, Jay. I just moved back to New Jersey. So I got divorced back in 2018. And at the time, I left New Jersey and I went down to Virginia, just outside DC, to be with family. My mom's down there with her husband. My sister has two boys now, so I wanted to, you know, hang out with the kids. And they were like, "That it'll be good for you to be down here." So I went down there, and I just miss being in New York because I love the energy around here. I come back. A buddy of mine, DK, is like, "Hey, let's go to this club or whatever, this lounge." I'm like, "Man, you're too old to go to the freaking club, man. What are you talking about?" He's like, "And I know you." He's a sales guy. I'm like, "I know you. We're going to go to this club." He's like, "No, I'm going to get a table." I was like, "All you're going to bring are dudes, man. You can't pull any, you're not going to pull any girls, right?" So I go over there. Of course, this is exactly what happens. He's like, "Oh, these are my boys from California." I was like, "Why am I hanging with your boys in this place? We could have just gone to a bar."
Right.
Because I know I'll stay a little longer. Some other people are coming. So the whole entourage comes. And like, there's this dude that sits down and we just get talking. And a young guy, you know, he's like 30 at the time, 28, 29, whatever. And I'm like, "What do you do?" He's like, "Oh, I train Muay Thai." I was like, "Oh, that's cool. I've actually been thinking about, you know, getting into kickboxing or Muay Thai because I want to get back into my body. Like, I don't feel like I'm in my body." You know what I mean? Like, you're on Zoom and you're on freaking in front of a screen all day and you work out, but you're just doing the same things because I'd never worked with a trainer before, either in, you know, martial arts or in physical therapy or working out. I was like, "I feel my whole body is up to here, like from my head to my chest, like the rest of my body I'm just not connected to. Like, I'm not connected to my hips, my core, my legs or whatever." And he's like, "Let's start training. Like, where do you live?" I'm like, "This town, Fort Lee." He lives literally like a 3-minute drive from me. So I started training. Yeah, I started training with him like in his living room because he had opened his quote-unquote gym in his apartment during COVID. Now he has a legit gym in town here. But dude, the first thing he had me do, I showed up. Dude, he didn't brief me on anything. I didn't even know how to tape my hands, right? He's just like, "Show up. I'll show you how to do it." He's like, "All right, I just want you to throw a jab at this dummy for a minute." I was like, "That's it?" Dude, my arm was about to fall off there for 15 seconds. I was like, "This is ridiculous." Then he's like, "All right, you're going to do it again. I'm going to have you grab this band. And when you throw a jab, I'm going to pull on the band." So there's risk. Dude, I thought that was going to be so easy. I was like, my arm was rubber for like a week. Then he started having me to throw kicks and knees, which I love. But I'm like, Jesus.
And Mike, you're a really tall guy too. How tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
Yes. So when we
spar, what he'd do is he... This was fucked up, but he would have me spar some of the guys in the gym that were much shorter, right? Like 5'9", 5'10", 5'7". And he's like, "Mike, you don't even need to kick. You're so tall. You could just knee him right in the head." And I was like, "I don't think there's a regulation fight." He's like, "Fighting in the street ain't a regulation fight, bro." He was crazy, man. He's crazy. I love him. But I freaking fell in love with it, dude. And, you know, I told my dad, I don't think I told you this. My dad was a 3rd-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
No, you did not tell me that.
But he never had me train. He never had me train when I was growing up. He said, "You didn't want to do it." I was like, "That's probably because I didn't want to spend time with you because you're beating the shit out of me anyway."
Right.
Like, "Oh, yeah. You're drunk, right? So I don't want more of that." Right. Yes. So when I told my trainer Jay, he's like, "Dude, you got it in your blood, man. It's in your blood. Your father's a freaking, you know..." Now my dad and I are good. You know, that was that's a story in itself. But
I have that dude, same story with my dad. I got you. Yeah.
Oh, I told Jay, I was like, "Hey, man." He's like, "Oh, he found out what I did for work." And I was like, "Hey, man, you know why I keep training with you? One of the things I really appreciate, you're not afraid to get in my face and challenge me and push me and be like, 'You got fucking more in you. Give it to me.' Full send." Like, and I told him straight up, I was like, "Dude, there's no one in my life that tells me that anymore. Like, I've built this business. I'm insulated in a lot of ways from having to deal with people I don't want to deal with. I get to work with clients that I generally like. I get to talk to people I want to talk to, like you, right? Anybody." Like, you end up creating sort of an echo chamber and a bubble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "No, this is good for me. I got to get with other people from different walks of life who can kick my ass, who can show me what I got inside." There's a lot to that I just fell in love with it. And he's like, "Man, you better learn jiu-jitsu because you're tall. People are going to take you down. You're going to need to learn how to fight on the ground." I was like, "Absolutely." So, like, I'm actually planning to start mid-December. I have a gi and everything.
Congratulations.
I was just traveling too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm going to do it, I want to be in it, right? I want to build like on it every week. So, yeah, man.
I get it, man. You're going to love it. And that's exactly where, what my mindset was like that too. Flashing back, this was 2020 when I started up, because I started training during COVID and I found a school. I courted a few different schools. I started training Gracie because they start you in the combatives program and you're literally learning from the ground up. And it was like, that was for me, but I courted a few different schools and one of them was like, you know, it was like Mortal Kombat right off the rip. And I was like, I'm older. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to start out like that because it was a bunch of younger guys and everybody was really aggressive. And it was like, it was more about, it wasn't about the art of jiu-jitsu. Or, you know what I mean? Everything that it all encompasses, because I was going to calm myself down, not wind myself up. You know what I mean? I was facing a lot of adversity at the time. I had felt like I was, you know, on edge all the time and losing my temper. And I was like, I really want to focus inner on my inner and inner being. And jiu-jitsu means gentle art. And so I had really been a fan of Bruce Lee over the years and all the martial arts. And you know, I really started digging into Gracie and I went and everything lined up, like everything clicked. It was like the right components in every way. And I trained three times a day. I trained the morning class. I trained privately in the afternoon. And then I would do the evening class too. And I ripped, I like filled that combatives card like as fast as can be. And I was training like a machine, and then I had made friends with everybody there. And then I dialed out of the school and just hired the trainers to come over and train me. And then I just made a group of friends. And then I turned my garage into a gym, got the mats, all the martial arts toys. And then I was just like, I took the belt rank out of it for me because it didn't make sense anymore, because the schedule, you know, to keep up on it. It's like, once you're in that network, you're never going anywhere. No matter how far you get away from it, you'll always find your way back from back to it, I think, somewhere down the road, even if it's even if, you know, it's 3 months you're out of the game. I mean, just different different things happen in your, and life happens, you know, and sometimes you can train more, sometimes you can train less, but it's always with you.
How's it feel like knowing, you know, how to do that and like control your body? Do you just, you're just like, I can take care of myself, I can defend myself, like I trust myself, like how's that feel? Because that's one of the things that I was really interested in, not just to get back into my body, but be like, I want to be able to basically defend myself. I want to be able to like have this control and understanding of what's going on in this chaotic situation. Because you said before, at work, you're putting out fires all the time. You thrive in chaos. And I'm like, I'm the same way in at work with business clients and all that stuff. But I'm like, what happens if I just get jumped or my mom gets jumped or what, like how, like what's that feel like, bro?
I get that. And so like within my line of work, working with all these individuals with intermittent explosive disorder, it was, I always just used, I never used physical management. That was never my method of communication for these folks. It was, I would just use my eyes, my words, my hands, you know, just communication to de-escalate and just kind of bring everybody back to center and kind of just like, whew, you know what I mean? And I was most of the time able to do that. But I had experience, you know, after I started up my business, just a lot of adversity, different things happened over the years that ultimately led me to seeking out exactly what you just talked about was, you know, I had never been in a fight with anybody outside of my brothers, you know what I mean? And family, like family members wrestling and horseplay and just beating the hell out of each other until our parents pulled us apart. Like, that's how I know how to fight. And so like, but what if like during COVID, like different scenarios played out and you saw everyone just turning on each other. And I was like, wow, what if someone came in? Cause I did have someone approached me hostily on a couple of different occasions and make threats. And I thought, interesting, because as a business owner, you're kind of a target. So if somebody wants to bait you into a fight, then the next thing you know, you're in a lawsuit. I mean, I just could see it all play out in my head. And I was like, you know what sounds good to me? Jiu-jitsu. So that's when I signed up. And so like I started training like a machine because I really wasn't picking up on it very fast. I felt like the underdog in class just because I needed to do it more, to understand it better. It just, everyone learns at a different pace. And I think if you get the right instructor, they can kind of customize the training for you to help you understand better. And I had that, so I was pretty blessed. And so, so like I said, if I'm into something and I'm not understanding it, like at the pace that I want to be understanding it at, then I become obsessed and I'll do it more and more and more. And so that's what I did. And then I ended up finding myself in a couple of scenarios where when the chips were down, I knew that I could manage that because there's a little bit of ego that comes when you get a little bit better at something. And then all of a sudden, you know what I mean? Someone flipped my switch one day and I was like, it happened on a few different occasions. And so I had to dial myself back and I was like, well, I'm not sure if I'm training for defense or offense anymore. I had to, I had to give myself a timeout.
Okay.
So I did give myself a timeout. I had to readjust. And so that's when I decided to take the belt rank out of the equation and do different things like for myself, like, okay, you know, just step back. One specific incident like had me reevaluate my progress. And so if it's not fun anymore and I'm not like, you know, and I'm not really experiencing it on a deeper level, then I need to reevaluate. And so I did. And so I just took that break for a minute and jumped back in. But it feels empowering and it feels good to know that you can handle yourself because everything is so unpredictable these days. And I think, well, you're over there in New York. You know what I mean? There's a lot of hustle and bustle. It's an action-packed city.
Yeah, it's great. Like it's crazy. You know, you try to stay out of like bad areas or whatever, but like you also, like you said, you just never know where.
But there's bad people in good areas. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I've seen some crazy stuff just being in this area. Like a couple months ago, I was just walking down the street and I saw like a block down, this lady was grabbing this other woman's hair, just freaking pulling it and like just freaking out, and then. After like a minute, they stop. No one tries to break it up. The girl gets up and then she just walks away. And the person who had been pulling her hair, I think was just a homeless lady, and just flipped out and was probably like just attacked this woman. And she just walked away. And I'm like, imagine that. Like you're going to get lunch and all of a sudden, like, you know, one of these people just grab your hair out of nowhere. I'm assuming that's what happened because she didn't like yell back at her.
Right.
Like she just went on with her day, and then the homeless lady kind of walked down my direction, the other side of the street. I was like, you better stay over there, you know? but it was just crazy. Like, what the hell? Like, I wouldn't want anyone who I know to be like, you know, in that situation, but you just never know when stuff happens. So just being able to take care of yourself, like that's a big deal. And like you said, like lifting weights and like, you know, doing the weight training and like all that, it just gets a little boring after a while. Like I feel like there's a more of a purpose to it, to learn this art and to see that kind of like show itself in a lot of different areas in my life, you know, especially as an entrepreneur, man, we're kind of crazy. Like people who start businesses and stay in it. Like I heard this one guy say, you know, entrepreneurship is like a life sentence. It's pretty hard to go back. Like you can't, it's almost like you're unemployable, right? You've tasted and seen what it's like, and it's just too hard to go back. So absolutely. I'm like, all right, might as well grow in other ways, you know?
Well, that's it. I think that when you get involved in martial arts, and I can never say enough good about it, it's especially if you surround yourself with the right people, those are tools you take into every capacity of your life, into relationship building, into team building, all of it. I was so enthusiastic about it. I had the woman's empowerment instructor from Gracie come over to the studio. I threw the mats down. She did some bystander intervention training. What does it look like when, you know, I had a few different ladies working in my office, and, you know, I wanted them to know how to handle themselves. If somebody came in one day and just, you know, lost their temper and they felt uncomfortable, I wanted them to have the tools to defend themselves if necessary. Or if you're working with a coworker, you know what I mean? You never know what's going on in someone's home life and when they're going to snap. Or, you know, you can't necessarily live in that headspace all day, all the time. But I mean, you know, I think it's good to be prepared. It's good to like have that empowerment under your belt. And I also learned, you know, within my company, I had heard through the grapevine that one of our female employees was in an abusive relationship. And so I decided to foot the bill for all the women in our organization to go to the Gracie Academy for the women's empowerment training.
That's awesome, man.
And unfortunately, that particular employee didn't make it to that. You know, you can only be ready when you're ready to go do something like that. But a lot of other people did, and they found it beneficial. And I think that it's for both, you know, it's universal. It's for men and for women. And so, and children too, like kids getting into it. It's amazing. I dabbled in karate in my junior high days. It wasn't something that I took very seriously. I was doing it. I had fun. I was doing it with a friend, and I went as far as like cracking the board in half and all of those things. And I met all the milestones, but like, I never, you know, you get into high school and then you're party animal and things happen.
Yeah. You want to do other things, you know?
Exactly.
But no, that's awesome. That's incredible.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to get your start. What's the school that you're going? What's the,
it'll be my friend's gym. He has other trainers that do BJJ there. So they do Muay Thai, BJJ. He's actually, Jay is, I think he's like the only like Korean dude who ever got trained directly by the Israeli army in Krav Maga.
Wow. And
so, yeah, he lived over there for a couple of years. So it's like, he's like, I never feel more safe than I'm with him. I also feel like I'm always in danger because of him, because he drives so recklessly. Like, I'm like, hey man, like turn on the self-drive on, he has a Tesla. I'm just turn on the self-drive, bro. Like you're driving crazy right now. But like, he's starting to get into Hollywood projects. Wow. And they're doing some choreography and stuff. Cause he's young, he's Asian, he's good looking, you know, he's got the thing. But yeah, he's always like, hey, if you want to learn knives, you want to learn, you know, swords. I'm like, swords, like what? But it's pretty awesome, you know. It's like
samurai. Cool. I have one. I got into it. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got some clients to do it. Yeah, it's wild. So I feel like I don't know, man. Like there's a part of me that also feels like I need to reconnect with that masculinity. You know, like I love coaching. I love mentoring people. I coach men and women. And the whole thing, but I've been doing so much work because of my profession. I had a friend who, she reads like tarot cards and stuff. Yeah. I don't, you know how many people are into this, but she's like, oh yeah, based on your birthday and your, you know, where you were born and all that shit. She's like, you are like actually a high priestess. I'm like, what, a high priest or priestess? She's like, oh, there's only one. It's a priestess. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, that means that you have a lot of skills and talents that are traditionally more associated with feminine energy. Right. She's like, I'm not calling you a girl. I'm just saying that you like, so writing, speaking, like all of this stuff, like I do pretty well. Art and music, I was really gifted in it. But I've always loved sports. I've always loved that aspect of it. And then this past like year and a half, I've been doing a lot of that, writing books for clients, coaching people through kind of their ups and downs, and all that stuff. And I hosted a webinar like 2 weeks ago to my audience just for guys. Dude, I loved it. I just love talking about like kind of like all the things that kind of come with that, you know, my relationship with my dad, like we were mentioning a little bit before, and what it means to be successful, what it means to be grounded, what, you know, life was like after I got divorced, because so many dudes ask me about that, so many. And they're like, you just seem a lot happier now. I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm not sure that I was unhappy then, because I didn't think I knew what happiness meant. I just accepted it for what it was. But yeah, I don't, now looking back at that guy, like my younger self, I wouldn't say that he was really happy or on fire or fulfilled. But I think a lot of that's coming back up. And that's why I'm like, oh, Jay, I want to come back. I want to train in BJJ. I want to get back into the gym with you. I want to get that, like, I want to be around that energy, you know?
It feels internally good. It's like, I don't know. It's like getting the oil changed on a car. Everything just runs better. And like, it's like having your brain washed, like not brainwashing, but like having your brain washed. It's really like, it's like a cleanse. It's so good. Yeah. And I can relate to, I'm going to be having a tarot person on, and I know a little bit about that. I don't know too much about it, but I know some folks in that realm, and I'm kind of fascinated by it. Like I said, I don't know enough to like speak to it on my own, but I know what you mean. And as far as I understand, is how it's like gender fluid, I want to say, because like you pull that high priestess card that you mentioned, but it doesn't necessarily mean feminine energy. So I mean, I don't know. I understand.
Yeah, it was more like this is what you're good at or what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Or how you're going to impact the world, right? How you're going to do. I remember.
Yes.
That. Yeah. So that was cool. It was cool.
Yeah. They'll say the card can be for a man or a woman, but yes, it's exactly. called the High Priestess. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I love that kind of stuff. Like, I think life's more fun with a little magic in it, you know? Yeah.
I'm open to all of that. I like learning a little bit about all these different journeys that people are on. You know, I've met with a shaman. Have you ever met with a shaman before?
Yeah. I would say that they were shamans. I've done psychedelic journeys, like guided psychedelic journeys with intention to heal and to expand, 3 times now.
Wow.
And dude, it's changed my life, man. Completely changed my life. My first one was, I think, in 2020. I had just gotten divorced. My friend dragged me kicking and screaming because I'd never done a drug in my life. I never even smoked pot.
Yeah. At
that point in my life, right? Never even done an edible, right? And she was like, hey, Chris and I are doing, like, her husband and her were doing it, and like they were saying how it impacted their lives so much. And we hung out one day. We both happened to be in LA. I hadn't seen her in person for a few months, and she'd been pushing me to do this. I pick her up, we go to dinner. I'm like, and I literally said to her, bro, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? I literally couldn't recognize her because she always had this sharp energy. We always got along because we just kind of, you know, be blunt with each other. And she's, I'm telling you, Mike, like, I did this. I've been going, like, it's been amazing. You need to come. And so she dragged me kicking and screaming. And I, like, we had a group of maybe 15 people and we're getting treated by this whole staff. I was the last one to drop in. And I was like, I don't know, you guys better give me more because I must be a big guy or my ego is super strong and resisting everything.
Yeah.
And dude, I dropped in hard. It was insane. Like, so great. Like, I was fucking screaming. I was like, what? Like, with joy. I was like,
yeah,
I don't like, my ego is gone. I was like, I feel light beams firing out of my fingertips. And they're like, hey, you got to quiet down. Like, you're super loud. Everyone can hear you. And man, it was so freaking liberating. I met the divine feminine on that trip, and that changed a lot for me after that. Like, I saw my wife, ex-wife, in a different way, you know, all the women in my life. I realized, like, the universe was always looking out for me and watching over me, and I was able to let a lot of stuff with her go. Yeah, I went on a couple of other journeys after that. The last one I did was probably 2 years ago. That's and amazing. So I feel kind of like an oil change, like every 2 years or so, it might be about time to go intentionally pursue
that that is so interesting. I got invited. I was on a flight coming home from Mexico. I was doing some work with the Magic Mission. My friend PB Siebert has a nonprofit for the overpopulation and abuse of homeless animals. And we were in Cozumel, Mexico. And I was on my way back home on this first class flight. And I was sitting next to this man named Hugo. And he happened to be working with Mike Tyson.
Okay.
He was working with Mike Tyson. He was his shot. He was Mike Tyson's shaman. And anyway, and so, like, we exchanged information, and I've talked to him off and on over the last year since that trip. And he's invited me on one of those trips that you speak of in Chicago. Him and his wife, they do this in Chicago. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I would definitely need to bring someone along that was experienced to go down that road.
Let me know the details. Maybe I'll roll with you.
Yeah,
you know what I feel like? I just listen now to when I feel drawn to it. I never feel like I'm pushing forward. It just somehow kind of comes back into my consciousness, like conversations like this or whatever. It'll just kind of come up again. And I remember, like, my last journey, like two years ago, I dropped in. I was the only one there at this journey. It's like a husband and wife. And like, the other people were supposed to come and canceled because of travel plans. So I just got a lot of individual attention for a weekend. And I remember like I dropped in and I came to like while I'm in the medicine. I don't know if you ever saw The Matrix, the scene where like I think it was in like the second or third movie. And it's just a room full of TVs everywhere. Like the whole room is a bunch of TVs. And then there's like this robot that comes that looks kind of like a scorpion or a serpent, because in The Matrix, that's what the machines look like. Dude, I went in there, it's an all white room, it's just a bunch of TVs, and I like came to, and this robot just came over and looked at me and stared at me like, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm just reconnecting. I'll go back in a minute. He's like, okay. He just walked off. Like, it was like, I just needed to unplug from this matrix we're living in for a little while and like go recalibrate and just get like, I just felt like a blob of energy. Like, I didn't even feel like I had an existence. And I was saying crazy shit. Like, what's a Cheesecake Factory? What's a Fuji? That's my dog's name. Like, what's a Henry? That's my best buddy. And it was like, none of this is real, but it was real. It's hard to explain to someone who hasn't done it, but everyone who has done something gets it. I just say, like, you know, you just start to listen, like, and notice the clues. So maybe this is a clue for you.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Take this guy up on it, you know?
Yeah.
Always feels like an invitation. Yeah, that's how I've always experienced it, like an invite.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Wild, entrepreneurship is an interesting journey. It takes you down many paths.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Mike, what is I've got a couple of questions down here. And I wanted to circle back to, like, you have this master blueprint for the audience. Like, what's the first step someone can take if they're going to focus on building their brand?
I think the most important thing is you have to have a point of view. And that's what I was saying a little while back about, like, what pisses you off, what breaks your heart, what's the big problem you're trying to solve, if anything? Because you know this from being in corporate, you get like the life kind of just squeezed out of you. You lose any sense of your own individuality in a lot of ways. And even more so in this day and age, there's certain things that you can't say. You can't say who you vote for without one or the other, you know, either side, you know, crapping on you. Like, there's so much stuff that people are afraid to express, despite the fact that we all have social media now and can express ourselves more than ever. I have found, like, the people who have had the hardest time sharing their point of view come from very highly regulated industries. They come from finance, they come from law, they come from education, they come from the army, from the military. These are industries where you're not rewarded for thinking differently. You're just supposed to follow the rules, follow the line. Healthcare, like when we were at Mindshare, that's one of the things I really like about them. They're like, screw the narrative of mainstream medicine and healthcare. This is what it really takes to be healthy, right? I like that.
Yeah.
And so I think number one is you got to have a point of view. It doesn't have to be world changing or completely original or completely new. It just needs to be real and authentic to you, right? To have that point of view and say, like, this is what I stand for. This is what I don't like. This is what I believe in. This is what I'm still making up my mind about. I think that's super, super, super important. And then secondly, you have to learn how to tell stories around that, like a personal story about why that means something to you. Like, in this conversation, we've gotten to know each other a lot better because of the stories we've shared.
Yeah.
I told you about my mom throwing back shots, you know, on Thanksgiving, quitting my job. And I learned about, you know, kind of how you treated your workers and your people in your company and tried to, like, you know, provide for them to get some of this training. We've learned about each other, like, in terms of martial arts and all that stuff. And that says a lot. It's all these stories. And so I think people don't realize that every day we're telling stories. It's one of the most important things you can learn to do. Just become mindful of. I feel like if you do that, you'll always have a means of making money or having work, because the ability to understand other people and to relate to them is a lifetime skill.
Yeah.
Like, if you know how to do that, dude, you can do anything. You can podcast, I like that. You can speak, you can coach, you can open a store, like anything, you know?
It's kind of like you are your personal brand. You are your brand.
Yeah. 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 Like that's why I call it that. You are the brand, you know? Yeah. And then, like, a big part of it was, like, don't pretend to be someone you're not.
Right.
Do the hard work. Like, you know, you've done that. It's like, do the work of becoming what you're trying to sell to people. Mm-hmm. This idea of, like, being authentic, like, it gets passed around a lot. I think authentic means you also show the things that you're struggling with, like the things that haven't gone well. Like, it's why I've been always open about like my divorce, or like I'm okay talking about things with my dad or other crazy stuff I've done. Nobody believes in that sanitized version of people. And
I don't understand not sharing the adversity, because I've known more adversity than I've known, you know, good times. Mm-hmm. So it's, mm-hmm. That's all I'm, you know, working in human services for 27 years and just building teams, working with families. I mean, like, I'm in the thick of it with people. And so, like, mm-hmm. I don't really think there's anything that can be swept under the rug. It's always gonna, you know, the rug, it's always under the rug. You just peel it back, I think. And it's just different now. Times are different. I like that, you know, you encourage that brand authenticity just by being your personal brand. I wanted to ask too, like, how can a brand really say something that's unique? But I think that you kind of answer that with what we just talked about, what's being you, because you are the blueprint.
Yeah. You're the brand. Like, so a good example of that, right? Like, I use this a lot when I teach in workshops. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give you guys all a slogan. I want you to tell me what kind of company or business this is, right? And the slogan I'll give them is bridging the gap between where you are and where you want to be. And I'm like, okay, that's a slogan. Everyone thinks they need a slogan. There's your slogan. What kind of business is it? And they go, it sounds like a life coach. But another person will say, it sounds like a financial planner. And another person will say, it sounds like a travel agent. I'm like, exactly right. They're all true.
There it is.
It's not the content. It's the context that matters. If Tony Robbins or Bedros Kul is saying bridging the gap between where you are and where you want to be, that means something completely different than freaking Expedia or Travelocity that's booking your travel.
Right.
It's the same words. What I say to folks is, like, you don't need to say anything that's necessarily really original.
I just need
to connect it to why it's important to you.
Yes. I love that, because I was just having this conversation. Mike, I swear you're part of my soul tribe. We're so in sync. It's like, I was just having this conversation with somebody where you could hear, I can always dial something back to jujitsu, because it's like, that's why I would train so often, because, like, you can hear the same thing over and over again from, you know, multiple people. But then, like, Mike Kim says it and click, you know what I mean? Or, like, mm-hmm. I would train with multiple partners or instructors throughout the day. And then this one specific instructor would say it, you know, deliver it this way. And it was like, I was, mm-hmm. everything clicked. You know what I mean? Everybody interprets something in their own way, even though it's the same, you're hearing the same message. Mm-hmm. From five different people, but you're not receiving it from all those people.
Yeah. And there, it's like, you can say the same thing as other people, and people just like you because they like your energy.
Yeah.
It's just different than someone else. Like, I know that I have a tendency, like, people have told me, like, oh, you, I feel really calm around you, but you're really strong and you're intense, but it's calm intensity. You're not like yelling at people. You're not like rah, rah. You're not like, you're peaceful, but very, very strong, grounded person. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, if I spoke the way I spoke at Mindshare to, like, some, like, killer sales team in New York City, at, like, from the Wolf of Wall Street, they would booed me out of the building.
Right.
Because I'm just not that, like, guts walking, go, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just not like that.
Yes.
But I don't need to be, because that's not who I am.
Right.
And the right people will find me, and I'll find the right people. It's just all energy, right? I think there's a place for that. I have friends who are like that. I wish I was like that sometimes. And I'm like, all right, I can only take you in small doses, or I need some sort of an upper to keep up with you for a day, you know? But I'm like, oh, yo, man, there's a place for us all, right? But when they crash, they're like, yo, man, it's always just good to be with you. I just always feel like I can just kind of let loose and, like, let my hair down a little bit. And I love that, because we're all interconnected. But that's what I want to give permission to people to be themselves and realize that everybody has something about them that, if amplified, could really impact the world and their own life.
Man, I love that. Yes. And I agree with everything you said. That's why I know, like, within my network, there are the guys that just have that delivery where it's a little more aggressive, a little more rah-rah, and they wear that well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And other guys, they have their delivery. And, like, in my network of different folks, there's something for everyone. And so, like, and I respect all of them, because I've been at different events where I'll hear someone like, yeah, this guy's not for me. That's too much. Mm-hmm. And he's overkill. And they kind of shit talk him a little bit. But I'm like, yeah, but you know what? That guy's passionate as hell. And he's a family man. And he loves his kids. And he loves his wife. And he's so excited to be up there. And, like, I dig that. You know what I mean? mean? That doesn't turn me off. It winds me up, even though like that mode isn't my mode. You know what I mean? It's his, it's his mode, you know? And so, but like everybody receives the message differently. And some people, it turns them off, and that's okay. You get, you know, turn on when Mike Kim speaks or Mike Cormier, you know, is in the room or whatever. It's all about delivery and who you connect with. And Mike, it was so easy to connect with you at the Mindshare. It was like, I had already knew you before I met you. It was so cool. I love when that happens. Man. And I feel so blessed that you came on the podcast today to talk and share about your journey. It was such a good open share in a chat. It was such a great talk today. I can't wait till you get back here into the Metro Detroit area and connect with your buddy, Ryan, so we can podcast in studio.
Yeah, we're just going to do a get together and yeah, it'd be awesome, man. I love the area. I really did. I really mean that. I was like, I'd been out there like, I don't know, a couple months before I held my event there because Ryan had an event. And so he asked me to come and present. And I was like, dude, this place is great. Why didn't you tell me it was great? We would have kind of done an event. So we did it there. That's how that ended up happening. So
yeah, it was so funny too, because I was like, where in the Metro Detroit area were you? You're like, it was this little town, and you're kind of describing it to me. You're like, I was at this restaurant. It used to be a bank. I'm like, that's my town, dude. I'm like, that's a
that's crazy. Yeah.
You were, I was like, you guys were dining at the Fed.
Yep. The Fed. Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you having me on. This is awesome. It was a lot of fun. We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah. Mike, where can the audience connect with you at? We can shoot your links up here at the end.
Yeah, easiest thing is on Instagram, Mike Kim, at Mike Kim. And then I'm starting to build out my YouTube channel, which has been a lot of fun. And you can find that at Mike Kim Talks.
Perfect.
Yeah, or just look me up there. Handles awesome. Matter on YouTube. But yeah, thank you, brother.
Yes. Yes, of course. All right. And we can find your book on
Amazon, everywhere. Amazon. Yeah, you are the brand.
Of course. Awesome. Thanks again. All right, guys. Mr. Mike Kim, find him on all of his handles and order his book on Amazon. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us at the studio today. That's a wrap.